Welcome back from the Desk of Low. Man, if you ain't tuned into this show, man, then you've been late, man. This show, man, everyone from Detroit, man, has a near and dear place on this show and a place in the heart. This gentleman right here doesn't need no introduction, but we're going to give him one anyway, man, because he deserves it right here. Man, he's a staple in the Detroit hip hop scene. He came up many times in my show in the early on days, man. We had some funny stories of some past guests. Shout out to my guys, Marv One, Fat Cat. Man, this guy right here, man, he's celebrating his 10th year anniversary with his label, man. And man, what can I say, man? He was friends with one of the greats, J Dilla, but he also has his own legacy as well, too. And I got the one and only DJ House Shoes.
Salute. Appreciate you having me, brother.
I appreciate you coming, man. How you doing, sir?
I'm good. I'm full, man. I ate a bunch of Korean barbecue. I had to delay this shit about 20 minutes to let my food go down. Jesus Christ.
One thing I like about
Stuff,
you,
man.
one thing I always liked about you always spoke your mind and you're very blunt, so you're afraid to speak your mind on here, sir.
No doubt, no doubt.
So I want to take it back. I was curious. You had a radio show in '96 at Henry Ford Community College called Beats and Radio. I was wondering if you could take me back
Beats and
to
breaks. Yeah, beats and breaks. Yep.
Beats and Breaks. Can you take me back to those days?
Yeah, I mean, I actually had a radio show in high school also at WSHJ on 88.3. But that was like, God, that was like 5 years prior, probably.
Okay.
Beats and breaks was the homie Josh Lang show at Henry Ford Community College. And I think we met at Street Corner at the record shop at Street Corner Music. And I pulled up one day, and the rest is history. You know, every Saturday afternoon from like it was 12 to 3. Yeah, all vinyl. We played Heat, you know, underground hip hop. That was prime time for that shit. And Saturdays were crazy because I would wake up on a Saturday and I would go to Street Corner. And I would pick up a check to go to the Angot Distribution, which is our mom and pops record distributor. And for those that don't know what a mom and pops record distributor is, it's a local distributor that services wholesale to the local retail shops. So I would get a check from them and go pick up like the fill-in order for everything that would sell out during the week. Take the shipment back to the shop, go do beats and breaks with Josh. And leave the radio station, go to the hip hop shop.
Now, like, did
And
you
that's the
do
day after St. Andrews, and we got Friday night, St. Andrews the night before. So weekends were fucking nuts back in the day.
that? Now, was it just like all like just like songs, or did you do interviews back then too?
No, we had interviews. We had, I mean, shit. We had, it's funny how your mind can fuck shit up over the years because
Oh,
I
yeah.
swear to God, it was two. I swore it was two different shows, but on the same show, we had JD and Eminem.
Okay,
It
wow.
was the first time Eminem. It was the first time Eminem ever was on the radio. The first time he ever freestyled on the radio. He was there with Pace One and
Wow.
Denine on the second half of the show, and you know. We was on Dilla's head every week, like, man, pull up, let's talk. You know, shit is starting to pop off. And he finally pulled up that day. And we interviewed him on the first half of the show. And then Pace, M, and Bizarre freestyled on the second half of the show.
Do you archive like a lot of your old like mixes back then, like with the interviews as well?
None of them.
Oh man, oh man.
Some of the homies had tapes, you know what I mean? I got footage. I got footage of that show. I mean, you've seen snippets of the footage. They showed it in the, you know, on the Hulu joint, the Dilla joint, and I think they showed some of it on the hip hop show on Netflix. Hip hop, whatever the fuck it was called. They did like three seasons. Yeah, man, crazy fucking times. I swear to God, it was two different days. But then the homie sent me the footage, and I was like, fuck, same episode. You know, Head and Shoulders of the City.
So,
Years before anybody knew what the fuck any of that shit meant. You know what I mean?
like even like back then, like I heard a lot of your stories. I even asked a couple guests too. There were stories about you that if you didn't like a record, that you would smash the shit against the wall, against the floor. So, yeah,
Yep.
when did you start doing that?
The first record that I did that with was it's actually a really good record too.
Okay.
The Nas and Lauryn Hill shit.
All
If
right,
I
fine, rule the world.
That's the first one. But I was like, man, like that's a hell of a leap. Like how you go from Illmatic right to that. Like build a bridge or something. You can't come off of Illmatic with something so soft. Let it be the second single or something. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's how I first really started talking my shit in the public forum. Because it was a lot of whack records coming out. That was the parallel shift. You know, it was that's when the divide came between money and the art. And if a
Yeah.
shitty record, if a shitty record came out, I would smash that shit to pieces on a Friday night. You know what I mean? And people would look forward to it. It got, you know,
Heard.
I wonder what he's gonna break tonight. People would, there's some homies that tell me they still got like a piece of a record. People would scatter and grab the fucking pieces, you know what I mean?
So over the years, it kind of been like a signature, as you would say.
It was a period of time. I mean, that was from like maybe 96 to like 99.
Okay. Oh wow.
Yeah.
So like, I was wondering too, like, because even you said, like, even like, you know, the weekends would be crazy. Because I remember the early days that you mentioned before at the St. Andrew's Hall. Like, can you take me back 10 when you were like 19 and 20 and we're just like around the time like the almighty dreadnoughts were like, you know, making their buzz around the
Yeah.
city.
Absolutely. I went to Eastern Michigan University in the fall of 93, and I had some homies from a crew I was fucking with, Last Ones Out, Elwo. And my homies Lo and Zo and my man VC would drive up to Ypsilanti, Michigan, which is like a 45-minute drive from Detroit. Pick me up on a Friday night. We go to St. Andrews. We might go to the Rhythm Kitchen. We might go to 1515 or like 1315 Broadway. And that was my physical introduction. You know what I mean? Eastern didn't last long.
That was college, right?
Got kicked out. Eastern Michigan University. I got kicked out maybe 2 months in for arson.
You
That's
spent
a
the rest
story
of
for
your
another
college
time.
funds on records, I heard.
Yeah, I went home with the balance of tuition and books, and I blew that shit in a couple months. Really just being in the right place at the right time. DJs that maybe, you know, had hard times and like 15 crates show up.
Yeah.
And you see them come in and you wait. Or sometimes,
Oh,
you know, you gotta like you put your name in, like, hey man, like give me a holler. Let me know when you put, because they still gotta process all those records too. You know what I mean?
yeah, for the
But
inventory.
just coming up on a lot of heat and just kind of understanding the rhythm, you know, like what days to be in the shop, what days the promos would show up, what days the new records would show up, the 12 inches. And at the same time, frequenting St. Andrews every Friday and bringing like a little stack of records. And being like, let me get like the last 10, 15 minutes. Just trying to do some little blends, you know what I mean? And one night in April, the DJ, one of the hip hop DJs on the main floor, got in a fight with the alternative DJ in the basement. So Friday nights was three floors of fun. You had the dopest house and techno in the Burns room upstairs. By the dopest house techno DJs, main floor ballroom. Same thing with hip hop, basement in the shelter, alternative.
Okay.
It was all elevated. It wasn't pedestrian at all. So you had this crazy mix of educated listeners that would be available to all of it. So you would get this constant, you know, transition between people would go to all floors. They wouldn't just stick to their own shit. They would go get a taste of all the other heat too. And one of the hip hop DJs punched the alternative DJ in his face and he got fired. And shout out to my man Lito. He was head of security. He pulled me in the office, and I was DJing there the following Friday.
Oh, wow. It's kind of crazy how you could be at the certain places at the right time now, too, and it comes full circle. Because, like, you being a DJ, like, a lot of people, you know, when they call themselves DJs, they, you know, they're doing it from the computer. But it's like, nah, you got to do that from vinyl. You got to do that from 12 inches. But I was curious now, too, like, because you were, I heard that you were hunting down, like, test presses, like, you know, from, like, Black Moon, Black and Days.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. You had to have those relationships. And I was in the record stores all the time. And I'm very grateful because motherfuckers just took me in. They saw something in it. They saw something in me. You know, right things for the right reasons. Shout out to my man Huck. Rest in peace, Mike Huckabee, in the dance room at Record Time. He was very pivotal. He called me his hip-hop soldier. And he would just have some heat for me every week. He had relationships because he was the buyer for the dance room. So he would get the promos directly. And he would decide who to give them to. And he could walk that room and give a record to anybody, whether it be a house record, a techno record, a hip hop record. Like, he knew, you know what I mean? He knew what's the heat for this motherfucker. What's the heat for him? You know what I mean?
He knew.
And yeah, just, you know, that and, you know, Detroit Audio, my man Daddy Riff, just meeting the right people and building those relationships and having that fucking responsibility to play that fucking heat every week. You know what I mean? I wake up Saturday morning, I got 6 days. You know what I mean? It ain't no fucking email list.
Yeah, there no, might this be is one, yeah, there's
copy.
No internet.
There might be one fucking copy of that record in the city. You know what I mean?
Man, you gotta get
and then after you kind of get that reputation, for the good kind of breaking records. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know what you mean.
they just kind of started coming to me. You know what I mean? Shout out to Jason Staten, my man. He worked for Loud Records back in the day. I mean, you know, that was a fucking era. I'm talking about a motherfucker walking and hands you the fucking best press for Shook Ones, too.
Oh, man.
Or Shook Ones fucking part one on the Nutter Butters compilation. Or the Glaciers of Ice promo, or the Survival of the Fittest, or the fucking Cold World D'Angelo remix. Fucking, it was so much heat every week. It was ridiculous. And it was important to me to stay on top of that shit.
Yeah, and it's very, do you still have like a lot of those from back? Because I noticed you have an extensive vinyl collection, but like,
I mean, I'll keep it a buck, like, the most manicured section of my collection, the one that's been culled the most, is the hip hop 12 inches. Shit is super prime. But I kept all the shit that I needed to keep. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I still got records with handwriting. You know, Tita Pimp was a promoter in Detroit. He would always fucking write on the shit with a Sharpie on the cover of the record, like. Tita Pimp promo. I'm like, man, like, I know who the fuck the records is from, man. Like, we ain't got to draw.
So I was curious, like, the label that, you know, that you're celebrating the 10-year anniversary through Street Corner Music, was that the first store that you worked at? I may got my facts on that.
It wasn't the first store that I worked at. It was the first store that trusted me with their money.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like, they let me spend their money to take care of my people.
Okay, so you knew, because you knew what, you obviously knew what was hot.
Well, they you know, I got that job working for records. I went to Street Corner Music the day that Hard to Earn came out. It might have been the Friday, but I feel like it was the Tuesday that Hard to Earn came out. And I was like, I know these motherfuckers ain't going to have the record. I'm just going to ask them for the CD. And we're out of the CD, but we got one copy left of this double vinyl import. And I'm like, I used to be so extra in record stores. I'm doing like Snow Angels on the ground. I'm like hollering, you know what I mean? Running laps around the store and shit. It's crazy. But I took a look around. I was like, dope spot. Like, I've worked in a couple record stores. You guys hiring? They're like, we don't have a cash budget, but, you know, we could pay you in credit. So like the first 6 months I worked there, I got a credit slip every week,
Okay.
which was another end to getting the fucking records. And then through that, I started going to ANGOT, which is a whole nother level because they have a fucking 12-inch section.
Yeah.
And I can buy them bitches for wholesale. They're like $3.50 a piece or
Okay.
$4. Then when I started doing the Saturday shit, picking up the orders, my payment was either 2 12-inches. When I started going to ANGOT on Saturdays, I would get shit even earlier. Because, I mean, since I was like a kid, I just wanted to. When music really started mattering, like third grade, I just always wanted to have the shit first and just play it for my friends. You know what I mean? So getting closer and closer to having that motherfucker first every time, it was amazing, man. And people came, not like that, but people would be really geeked to see what I was gonna play on a Friday night. It was real theatrical, you know what I mean? Like, I would bring the house shoes to the club. I had this green army tackle box. And when it was time to DJ, I'd sit on the edge of the stage and start take my shoes off, open the shit up, put the house shoes on. You know what I mean? People would be like, "Oh shit, shoes by the DJ." You know what I mean?
Is that where the name like house shoes came from? Because like when a lot of people interview you, they don't ask really like where the name house shoes come from.
Well, right before I left to go to Eastern, my mom just got me a dope ass pair of house shoes. Like black leather, comfortable as fuck, and I wore them everywhere. I wore them out maybe 6 months in, got another pair, same exact kind. They're like $70 house shoes. Kept it way too real, as always. It'd be snowing outside, ice. I got fucking house shoes on. Silly.
So, even like I love how like you pay homage to street corner music, the sort that you worked at with your label. So I was curious, like what made you want to name your label that, and what are the few artists and producers that are from your label that that we may know, just for the general public who may not.
Right. I couldn't come up with a name. I was stuck for maybe 10 days. I just couldn't think of the stamp to put on it. I didn't want it to be house shoes anything. You know what I mean?
Like House Shoes Inc. I know what you mean.
I did house shoes records already. You know what I mean? But like I said, Street Corner's the first people to put their money where their mouth was. You know what I mean? And it rings to me. Street corner music. Like, this is the shit that we play as we pass the street corners. It's the shit that you might hear somebody. It's a secret, but I hear that shit sometimes on street corners. You know what I mean? Like, oh shit, they playing the joint.
So is the street corner music still like around? Like, is the store actually still active?
Oh yeah. I've put out 82 records in 10 years. It'll officially be 10 years in September.
Oh yeah, no, I know the label still. I mean, like, is
The record store. Yeah, absolutely. It's not in the original location. It used to be on 13. You got 8 mile, 7 mile, 8 mile, 9 mile, 10 mile, 11 mile. They were on 13 mile in Southfield, and now they're at like 10 mile in Greenfield.
okay.
So it's like 5 minutes away.
Oh yeah, so same location pretty much.
And it's a smaller, much more refined location also. And
Because
it's dirty, it's grimier too. It's not like grimy, grimy. It's just the original location was a very big, bright, high ceiling, just typical strip mall spot. You know what I mean? The new spot is much more condensed and it just feels much more like a record store.
So like even with like street corner music, like I noticed like there's some of the like artists and producers that even I recognize on there. I was like, oh yo, this house shoes though, this guy. So I was curious, like, because you got like three releases from like Mutant Academy from like vinyl and
Yeah.
physical
No, yeah,
only.
absolutely. I mean, you know, I'd be ahead of motherfuckers. I've always been ahead of motherfuckers.
I feel you on that.
I mean, we got unknowns on the label, and we got well-knowns. We got Grammy award-winning producers on the label as well that are homies. It's all personal. It's never chasing. These are personal relationships. Yeah, man. I mean, Jake One, fucking Mike and Keys.
Oh, yes, Mike and Keys, yes,
You know
sir.
what I mean? Soundtrack, Stro Elliott, but then you got, you know, Wildflower, Raj Mahal, Juicy the Emissary, who, and all the records are dope because I got good ass ears. You know what I mean?
I
And
was.
like, some shit makes me feel some kind of way. I want to make other people feel that way. It's innocent.
Because I like how you said, like, a few of the names I recognize. I was curious because, like, I know this producer has ties to, you know, Detroit. Where did the relationship from, like, Jake One, like, come from? Did that come from, like, the Cali Trout Lake session with Chris?
No, that's fucking 1995.
Oh, okay, so that's wrong.
I played Slum Village for fucking Jake One for the first time.
Oh, wow,
I
okay.
dubbed the fucking B tapes for Jake One. I dubbed Fantastic Volume One for Jake One. And that shit spread that way. Like Seattle and Toronto. Cause fucking
Yeah.
with RC, fucking with Attic, they would go on digging trips. Jake would come out and they would go on digging trips. And they would crash on the fucking living room floor. Like, my cat fucked all them up. Smokey fucked everybody up back then.
So, you know, like, I was curious now too, like, even with like street corner music now too, with the vinyl release now coming, like, you know. Everyone like to say like vinyl's making a comeback, but you've always been a fan of vinyl. But did you see like this resurgence of vinyl like way before? Like let's say like
Well, I mean,
five.
hip hop is what kept the record industry, like the vinyl record industry, alive for years. Like hip hop and dance music,
Yeah.
all the 12 inches, you know what I mean? And it's great to see people buying physical media, just buying, spending money, owning shit. Because
Yeah.
even on iTunes, you don't own it, it's a fucking license.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And seeing kids that grew up, I mean, there's a generation of people that grew up without physical media for the most part.
It's crazy,
And I mean, you can't be mad about that. That's how they grew up. It ain't
Yeah.
their fault. You know what I mean? But seeing them become available to it, I saw a girl, this is probably like 5 years ago. It was fucking amazing. It's a girl and her mom. You can tell she's like fucking maybe 14, maybe 15 years old. And they're in the G's. And she goes to her mom. She's like, "Mom, I always wanted to get into the Grateful Dead. I just don't want to throw my life away."
Oh, shit.
But
What?
like, that's record store shit. You know what I
Yeah.
mean? Like, the ecosystem of a record store is phenomenal on many levels.
Yeah, because I remember the days where, like, it's kind of crazy, like, how a generation will never get that feeling of, like, gonna go buy, like, a physical media the day it comes out. Because, you know, back then, you know, iTunes, none of that physical media wasn't, I mean,
Yeah.
digital media wasn't going crazy like that.
Yeah.
So that feeling of being able to cop it. I remember going to the store, like, when, I remember when Ode to the Ghetto came out. You know, I remember skipping school to go get that. A lot of people don't know, like, that feeling, man. So I was curious, with your very,
It's topped out though. It's topped out.
yeah.
Like to the 2 previous years, it rose. It rose, I want to say, like 70%, and then like 50 more percent the next year. And records were selling like they were selling in the fucking 80s. But this year, it's gone up like 1%.
Yeah.
And it can be, you know, I do this shit myself for the most part. It's a and no distribution.
Also, everything's in the pen.
I mean, I have a system. I have people that I give a percentage to, and they carry the weight in regards to like mail outs and shit like that. But yeah, man, it ain't no joke.
Well,
Yeah,
where did you first start the label? Was it in LA or was it in Detroit?
absolutely.
It was in
Yeah.
LA.
I was still with the mother of my children, and she had to go, she was going to go back to school, and I had a shit 2-year-old daughter and a 5, 6-year-old son at the time, and I needed to do something musically. And we started, I started the Gift series, which is how we started the label. It was just a series of
beat tapes that I could digital download at first.
Yeah, they were free downloads, but then the homie at Fat Beats. Fuck, I can't believe him. Oh, Joe Dent, not the owner. Joe Dent. Joe Dent was the man at Fat Beats. He did 10 people's jobs, and he could do them blindfolded with his fucking hands tied behind his back. He was a king. And he talked me into doing the record shit.
Okay.
He was like, yo, I'll make it as easy as possible for you. Like, the shit you're doing is great. And I'm so grateful for that because, you know, I was just on downtime putting these beat tapes together. Because that's another thing about Street Corner. You don't give me a release and I put it out. It doesn't work like that. Like, I hear some shit and you start sending folders. You know, I go, I take 300 beats down to like 50 and then I'll take it down to like 20. Then I'll sequence the album. Like, then I get an idea for the artwork while I'm sequencing the album. Like, this is, I'm very super heavy handed with the shit. You know what I mean?
So how do you pick, like, you know, like the Fly Anakin releases, or like, you know, somebody that's not affiliated directly to your label for a physical?
Well, I knew Anakin through Foyzy.
Okay.
And it was his first record.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. I think it was called Episode One.
It's like, that's his first project. And, you know, I'm an advocate of the producer. Always primarily an advocate for the producer. So I was like, yo, like, it's perfect time, like, lengthwise, vocals on one side, and then we do just the beats on side two. And he was like, yeah, fuck it.
And, like, you even have, like, Chains. Like, I'm a nerd when it comes to Detroit hip-hop. But is that the Chains?
Chains is a fucking legend, man.
Is that the Chains that had a project with A-?
Chains supported the city when Dilla and Proof died. Musically, okay. He produced entire albums for so many artists, from Miss Corona to Mo Dirty. He carried half of a decade on his back.
Yeah.
And with nothing to show for it. Just in good faith, just holding shit down with heat. You know what I mean? He rocked at the anniversary party a few weeks back in Detroit, and he fucking chalked it out.
So even like with Street Corner Music, like, I was curious, like, you know, when you're looking back on, like, you know, like, anniversaries for, like, you know, past releases, like, Let It Go, that's obviously the House Shoes debut album, but that, like, that started off as an instrumental album at first.
Yeah. Yeah. It's the way I wanted to do it. You know, I stopped making beats actively 15 years ago. When I had children, I ain't made a beat in 15 years. Like, anything you hear from me is either damn near 20 years old, like that fucking joint that dropped, the Paradigm, the LXG joint that just dropped.
Okay, yeah, we're going to talk about that in a second.
Well, the song is from 2011.
Yeah.
But that beat is from fucking, like, I mean, at least 5 or 6 years before that.
Oh, wow. So you go digging in the archives for that, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's all I got. And it ain't too many crumbs left. You know what I mean? I was never a workhorse producer like that. I just made beats because I like making beats. I never made beats like, oh, I gotta make a beat for Guilty.
Yeah.
or Marv or fucking anybody. I just made beats, and then, you know, you link with the homies, they'd be like, let me hear some shit, and it all goes from there. But it's always been ultra personal, man.
I like how you brought that up, because you put, like, a little, see, you and Paradigm put a statement when y'all released the LXG joint. But, like, for the people who don't know, this would have been one of the illest. I'm a big fan of Supergroups. I love.
Oh, 12 years ago, if that dropped 12 years ago, you know what I mean. And I've been on his head for a decade. Like, what's up with LXG?
Let's go out. So for the people who don't know, it's on the screen for the people, you know, you can see the cover. But if you're not watching, this group had Guilty Simpson, Danny Brown, Paradigm, Catchphrase, Cancer to God, Mew, and DJ AMF. And it was all going to be produced by House Shoes. Like, this group was going to be crazy. But, like, what happened?
I don't remember, bro. That was a blurry time. It just, you know, I think it was just kind of a biting off more than we could chew type situation.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's hard enough to get one rapper in a motherfucking studio to record an album, let
Sure.
alone fucking seven or six or whatever the fuck it was. You know what
Yeah,
I
I think
mean?
it was 7. Yeah, it was just a name. But like, when you finally seen the day of that, release, did that get kind of inspired? Like, maybe we can do that LXG album.
Oh, I mean, I ain't got no beats.
But
Oh,
what about you curating it?
that'd be fucking Disneyland. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah,
Executive produced by House
I work
Shoes,
quickly.
released on
You know what I
Street
mean?
Corner Music.
Hey, put it in the universe, bro. You know, put it on the Christmas list. We'll see.
So, this gentleman also came up on the show a lot of the time now too, and I like when somebody from the chart actually understands the importance of this man. And I've been telling Pat, salute to Pat, man. But every time this man comes up in
No, big salute to Pat, bro. Big salute.
the salute to Pat.
Pat cares.
Yes,
You know
sir.
what I
Oh,
mean?
definitely.
He carries the weight. He carries as much as he can. You know what I mean? Which is much more than damn near anybody else in the city has shown they would want to do.
And then, but shout out to Pat as well. But the gentleman, I was referring to now, man. Every time, me and Pat talk about this gentleman, I always tell Pat, I'm like, yo, man, I swear, man, can you get this guy to write a book? And sometimes, I'll be asking, him stuff in the DM, shout out
Hey.
to Hex Murder, if you want,
Yeah.
what up, my guy? I know you're watching. Can you tell us about Hex Murder, my guy, and your very first interaction with him?
Man. Hex is a fucking legend, man.
Oh, yes, sir.
Hex is a goony as fuck. Hex was one hitter quitter every Friday night. Somebody'd be laying in the street. They talk to Hex too long in the middle of Congress, right out in the fucking front of St. Andrews. But he cared as well.
Yeah.
And he had his stable of artists, you know what I mean? Dreadnoughts. He was him and Proof had a lot of similarities in regards to the fact that they just knew everybody.
That's so what I heard, yeah.
So the connections, you know what I mean? That was the connection to from the studio to the club to the streets to the hood, you know what I mean? And he fucking was a fucking maniac, bro.
Yeah, so yeah.
No, Hex is like a singular entity. Hex is a fucking 101.
That's
And
true. I'm true.
they took his fucking legs. And sometimes I wonder if he would even still be here if he didn't lose his legs. Because it was like you. That's I feel like that's the only way we could have got Hex to sit down. You know what I mean?
Yeah, because
And what his voice, Hex didn't talk much.
I know
You know
I
what I mean? Like you
killed
could talk shit, you'd be drinking and talk shit, jokes and shit, but when shit got serious, it wasn't a lot of talking going on. And his voice on socials and the documentation, I mean, his eloquence with the pen. With telling stories on like social
it.
media and blogs and
Yeah.
websites. It's fucking unbelievable. It's unbelievable. It's like his second movement. You know what I mean? No pun intended. Sorry, Hex.
Yeah, but that's what I like about like a person like Hex Murder, because he has so much history. He doesn't even have to talk about like the crazy stuff. It's just the fact like some anniversary post, like he'll share like a bit of a story, and it's like, okay, I want more than just a social media post. Like,
Yeah.
have you ever
Bro,
talked?
me and Hex were co-A&Rs for what was supposed to be Welcome Back to Detroit.
Okay. Oh, wow.
Yeah, it never happened, unfortunately. But we had some meetings, we had some dinners. It didn't work out, unfortunately. But imagine that.
Yeah. Oh, man. Because, like, even Hex, like, even, like, when he was too, like, I was curious. I even asked him this, too. I'm like, yo, did the House Shoes ever go a few touring overseas when you were managing Guilty and Elzai? But he said you might have went on tour with Ken Gordy overseas.
Not overseas. I went on tour with King Gordy in the States.
Okay.
Overseas, started off with Slump, holding them down while Dez had other shit to do. He was DJing for Moody Man. And that was a crazy story. My first ever international show was in, fuck, was it the Netherlands or some shit?
Oh,
The UK.
wow.
Super big festival. I think Kraftwerk was playing at the same time
Oh,
we were
wow,
playing.
Crawford. Oh, shit.
You know what I mean?
That's I know Crawford.
Multi stages, all fucking fantastic groups. So we're going through the back. We're driving in the fucking in the van through the woods to go to the backstage area. And I'm looking through the flyer for the festival, and it's like, oh shit, Moody Man's playing with Dez. That'd be dope if we see him. We pull up the backstage. I get out. We're unloading the van. Dez walks out rolling a blunt. Then Moody walks out rolling a blunt. Paul Randolph walks out. This other motherfucker, like, but before it was all said and done with us and all of them, it was like 14 motherfuckers from Detroit backstage chilling before my first ever international show.
Tour.
You know what I mean? It's unbelievable.
So for somebody like you now too, who actually been overseas and seen like how like they appreciate more of the lyricism overseas as opposed to USA, where everyone like, I want trap beats, but you know, there's a few of us in North America who love that, you know, that hard hit and stuff. But coming up, like I remember like hearing like I always say this all the time. Yes, Eminem introduced me to Detroit hip hop scene, but what made me really fall in love with that sound were the Slum Villages, the Fat Cats, the Elzai's, the Frank and Dank. Your shout out to
Yeah.
my guys, Frank and Dank, man. I remember being like, because Detroit has that sound you just don't find anywhere else. So I remember like trying to download like Frank and Dank's 48 Hours because this thing was bootleg so much. It's like, yo, wait. So have you ever thought about like going back and like, you know, records that not obviously 48 Hours, but you know, old archives that you may have and pressing them up on vinyl through Street Corner Music?
Well, the next record that I'm actually releasing on Street Corner Music is Elzai Out of Focus.
Oh, 1999. Oh my God. That
No,
big big bones on
98.
that one, right?
25 years. It was 98. We started in 96. We finished it in 98. Never been on vinyl.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
I need that
Yeah.
on vinyl.
Yeah, never been on vinyl. And that was the first time anything that I touched got around the globe. You know what I mean? Like damn near pre-internet or super early internet days. You know,
You
and
still
this
got
is
the tape?
there was a very I want to the tapes that they did when they did these tapes.
That's
They
it.
did these when he did Witness My Growth.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that never physically got. Shit went left at the end. Like he got like a telemarketing job, and it shit just got weird for a minute. It was a strange pivot. And like we did all this shit just super innocently. I was coming into my own on the beats, and he was already taking heads. And everything that we were cutting in the studio was fucking fire, and it never landed properly. And that shit happens. It's got to be patient, you know.
I
Cross
think
your fingers and hopefully the shit will see the light of day. But yeah, this will be out in the next, you know, few months. Absolutely.
because a lot of people like I see like over time like sometimes you know people are so ahead of their time like with releases, like it may fly over people's head until years later until they
Oh.
discover him. And I always see that project pop up at least once time when we mention Elzai, like out of focus. I'm like, yo, how has she produced like half that record?
Two-thirds.
Yeah. Oh wow. Okay. Wow. Yeah.
Yeah,
2/3 y'all for y'all listening.
man,
But the only thing.
that was fucking that was the first time I really worked, face to face in the studio,
Oh, that
late
was
nights. Magnetic, my homie Magnetic had just got he had just finished school at the Disc, which was a recording studio on the east side, and he had free nights. Like if he was there, he had free night time, like the whole night shift. If there's no clients, he can go in there and do whatever the fuck he wants to do. So we go in on his nights. Man, that shit was so crazy, bro.
oh, man.
That shit was so like Boomerang Slang.
Yeah, I was just gonna
Like,
say, what are your top five
no,
beats
I had to walk out. I had to walk out. I had to walk out
on
before he cut it the first time. Before he cut that motherfucker the first time, I was like, man, I'm about. My fucking
that?
head's on fire. And that song to this day is one of the greatest songs ever in the genre, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Definitely one of the greatest story raps of all time. Man, that shit is fucking incredible. And we did that just fucking around. We was fucking around, yo.
That's
Ain't nobody at the crib was like, we're about to change the world. We was fucking getting creative
the
and fucking digging for records. And making beats and motherfuckers is rapping and we're smoking and we're drinking and it was a one of the most beautiful accidents in human history.
I like how like you always remember those times now too, because like even with like that being pressed up on vinyl, I remember you said like you have a lot of things archived. Are you gonna include bonus mixes or like something
Well,
that?
there's no there's this is the fucked up thing. I had given the D88 masters to JD, and he was gonna fuck around and do some remixes, and he had a flood.
I always say bring up the flood, yeah.
Masters gone. You know what I mean? So this is all from archival tapes, CDs, like, there's a few different mixes of each, but I feel like we definitely got the best possible situation. And you might not even be able to tell. It just sounds like some old shit, but it's not like tape, messy tape shit. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
It's
no, I know.
worthy.
Try to
You know what I mean?
listen to I always tell Hex, yo, I need to get City of Trees like on like stream and say, yo, I can only hear these shitty like tape mixes. Like I need to
Man,
hear.
all that shit. I don't know why all that shit ain't on streaming. There was CDs for all that shit. You know what I mean? You could pull waves off of all that shit. All that shit. I mean, the landscape is what it is. You know what I
Yeah.
mean? It's fucked up. But just for historical purposes,
But
I didn't start doing this shit so I can get rich. You know what I mean? But I deserve value to be paid when people have
of
spent that
course.
money on it. They just changed the whole shit up where, hey man, you ain't gotta spend money on shit anymore.
Yeah,
And
that's true.
I still don't really understand how the record industry is making more money than they ever have,
Than before.
and we're getting less. Like, how does that shit make sense?
They're jipping a lot of the artists more than ever before now.
Fucking them.
So like,
You don't even need the motherfuckers. They don't even fuck with you
so
until you're mid.
you have a big
You know what I
buzz.
mean? Ain't nobody taking no chances anymore. There's no artist development. There's no grooming. You know what I mean?
Back then, because like I remember, well, it's kind of crazy how you bring up something like they get want you to give it away for free. We won't spend much time on this topic, but yo, this was released as a free download, but this was one of the greatest pieces of music I've ever fucking heard in my life. I wasn't there. Well, I was there obviously, but I didn't understand the importance of Illmatic when it first dropped. But years later, this artist from Detroit, like I remember seeing his name pop up here and there. But this one mixtape that he released called Illmatic was probably one of the greatest fucking releases. And I don't just want people rap over their own like legends beats, but this didn't was looked like it was made for him.
Oh man, Will Sessions made that. In my opinion, that's what put it over. That's what made it kind of, even though it's literally a tribute beat for beat to a one of the most perfect albums of any genre. The Will Sessions shit made it its own thing. Because if that tape would have came out and it was just over fucking not like the instrumentals, it wouldn't have rang as hard. It wouldn't have rang as loud, I don't think. You know what I mean? How they stretched out like Life's a Bitch and they stretched out One Love and the shit got crazy at the end. Like, man, get the fuck out of here, yo. How do you make Illmatic better, yo? He damn near made Illmatic better.
That's
It's
what I mean.
unbelievable.
That's what I mean. But
Yeah,
then.
no, that was, you know, not to beat my own dick, but that was my idea.
Okay. Thank you. That was gonna be my question. I'm like, yo. Was you responsible for this, like, project?
Yeah, we was on tour in Europe and it just bang. I tell people one of the things that I do is I'm a light bulb dealer. I don't deal them. I mean, I deal them like cards. I don't sell them. You know what I mean? And I was like, yo, it's like I had that idea in my head for maybe 10 seconds and it was already like
Going.
fully formed, but the Will Sessions shit, that was all him. Like he made that happen.
It sounds like he took that all in one take, too.
But I was like, bro, like Elmatic. And he was like, what you mean? What you mean? Dude? And I was like, bro, Elmatic, you're gonna remake Elmatic. You're gonna try to stick to the cadences if you can as much as possible, but it's all you. Just try to ride it like he did a little bit. You know what I mean? Oh.
The
And then
track
it started, and then I was
not
like, oh shit, like who's on Life's a, we started talking, like, who's on Life's a Bitch? He's like, oh, we gotta have Royce on Life's a Bitch. Like it just started.
coming together.
Oh yeah.
So, and I like how, like, you keep the relationship. Like, I remember when you were big on Twitch now too. I was like, wow, like, it's kind of crazy to see how should embracing Twitch, with the street corner music. So what made you actually like want to get into Twitch? Like, was this like you
Had
wanted to
no
be?
choice, yo. No,
Oh, well,
wasn't no choice. I'm a DJ.
this during COVID? Like, it's
I'm a
like,
traveling DJ. All the rooms closed.
okay, I can't go.
And our shit is entertainment's beyond the finish line in a pandemic. You know what I mean? And I didn't get on Twitch to do anything but just play some records. It was an escape. I tell people to this day, this is for me. Like, I'm not rocking for nobody but myself on here. I'm playing my shit. I'm playing shit I want to hear. The next record's always going to be the next record I want to hear. This is my escape. And it's kind of turned into a habit. It's kind of fucked up. It's like fight or flight. If anything happens, it's like, man, fuck that. I'm going to just go home, pour some whiskey, and get on Twitch. You know what I mean?
Spent some records.
But the first day I hopped on, 30 people showed up.
Oh, wow. Okay, wow.
Which is pretty fucking good for a first day, you know what I
Yeah,
mean?
I would say.
And you know, that was 3 years ago. I got like 12,000 followers. That shit's paid the rent for the last year and a half.
Yeah.
And now it's paying like 2 months at a time. You know what I mean?
Advance,
Me in
yes.
the fucking living room playing joints.
That's just like off like tech. It's kind of crazy how technology came like a long way now too. I remember when like you were just doing the records on there now too, but I remember when you premiered like the L's, like the Shoes House, like with the L's I interview. And I that's one thing I kind of wish that you would do more is like interview artists that you have passed from, because you can get those type of stories that we can't get. Like you
Yeah. I just want to get. I'm not big on technology. And just for the interview shit, I need to figure out like one more thing, because it's cool sitting there, handing the mic back and forth. Like when I'm on Twitch, I do it from my fucking phone, yo. I plug my phone in. We plug the audio into the phone. And for the first year, I just had the shit in a mount by the speaker. No direct audio and nothing. And people couldn't tell the fucking difference. You know what I'm saying? It's a foot away from iPhones got good ass microphones. You know
Of course.
what I
Of
mean?
course, yes, sir.
But yeah, like that's another value of the station to me. It's like it's bare bones. Anybody could fucking do this shit. People be thinking about shit so much that they never do it. You know what I mean? Like, I want to get on Twitch, but I need a background and I need graphics and I need to have a commercial. And motherfucker, figure it out after you start. You think, what the fuck? It's a world premiere? Like, you think everyone's gonna come? Because you're gonna do all that work and it's still gonna be that same number of people in the room the first day.
That's true. That's true. That's true.
And then the transparency that's showing people that process, like if you want to do that, let them see you build your shit up. That could be a dialogue internally in your community in the chat. You know what I mean? Like, oh shit, what you got coming next? Which how you leveling up? I don't give a fuck about none of that shit. I'm all here to play records. I barely talk when I'm streaming.
I noticed that,
I try to greet people,
yeah.
but when I zone out
You're
and don't pay
zoned.
attention. I don't pay attention to any of that shit. That's the best time because that means I'm in the fucking records. You know what I mean?
Like, I like how, okay, that's kind of crazy how you said that, you don't make beats anymore now, too. But when I see, like, how shoes placement, now I'm gonna look at it totally different now, too. But, like, how did you land a Mac Homie place, man? Because, this guy don't just, like, pop out of nowhere.
Oh, I know Hami for 7 years, maybe.
Oh, so you're early on him too. Okay.
Yeah, I mean HBO was album of the year in 2016. Like I hit him up. I was like, I need the
I need
files on that, bro. Like I need to
that
play that shit. I need to play it. Send me the pack. And he would keep me current. But that happened. I had like a folder. Like I told you, I ain't made a beat in 15 years. So I had a
vinyl.
folder of like Lucy's, like loopers. Little chop, little like Serato shit. I would record a record into Serato and then just cue point it. You know what I mean? And record internally on Serato and just play the beat out on the pads. Just like it's an MP, but I'm just recording. It's like tape deck beats almost, but with cue points. And I gave Swarvy a folder with maybe like 12 or 15 chop ups, loopers, sketches. And he made like a 8 minute beat tape out of it with maybe like eight or nine beats on there.
Oh, wow.
And I want to say the fourth one was the quartz movement joint, but he had chopped the sample all up. Like I just had the loop. I had that loop. That loop is a motherfucker, right? So the tape's playing and that beat comes on and I'm like, stop that fucking beat right now, yo. He's like, what you mean? I was like, man. Put that fucking loop on them drums, bro. Don't disrespect that loop, bro. Like, them chops are cool, but put that fucking loop, lock that shit in with them drums. And he did, and he played the rest of the tape, and it was dope. And I sent it to Hami like that week, and he picked Quartz Movement.
See, like, I like how, like, sometimes, like, you keep relevance in the game now too, and you don't even have to make a new beat like that now too. Because, like, when I see, like, produced by House Shoes, it's like, yo, man, like, this guy has so much history. Like, I remember being such a nerd, man. I remember seeing you in 8 Mile when you were standing back where he's getting back up to security guard. You're literally standing back there. But the
Smoking.
one thing, like, I did not notice. But, like, I was curious because the man sitting right here, when he's puking, do you have, like, House Shoes stickers in the bathroom stall in that movie? Because I could have sworn, like,
Don't think, I mean, some of the stickers and like the posters and shit, aside from the crates of record on stage were my records too.
yeah, I remember you were saying the records were yours, yeah.
But I don't think I had any House Shoes stickers, though. That might just be a coincidence.
Okay. Because I remember seeing like a House Shoes sticker, like, I'm like,
Or that might be like fucking Rosenberg, like doing some Yoda shit, like that I didn't know about.
like Easter egg shit, like,
Yeah, right?
like that Marvel Avengers shit, like, you gotta, like, really pay attention to, like, understand
Right.
that. So it's kind of crazy how, back then, how you were saying you were getting those records, like, you know, like the Shook ones and the OCs. Because I won't front, the very first times I ever heard that Shook ones beat was in that 8 Mile movie. I'm like, yo, who is this? That's Prodigy on that. I remember, yo, who is this? But when you were, you know, getting the calls for that movie, were you getting like the feeling back when you had like those instrumentals with the
I
tempo?
still had the feeling. I
So,
never lost the feeling, yo.
but like,
I mean, you know, that was a historical era, but you know.
because I can't imagine, like, you know, hearing Shook once for the first time in 1995. Because remember, this is pre-internet. There is no internet out there. We're hearing like Time's Up for the first time. It's just like, oh my God. But in
Right.
those, even like Onyx were like those beats were staples in the Detroit battle scene.
The last day. So also the battle records, they bootlegged off of my records too, because this is pre Serato. So they would take like the Shook Ones 12-inch and photocopy the label and take the record to a studio and cut a master, and yeah, it would be the same song on both sides, just in case the record gets scratched. And it was just the instrumental pressed wide as fuck on a 12-inch on both sides for all those records in the battle in 8 Mile. Look, I'll show you. Watch this. Fuck you up real quick.
Oh shit, yeah, we're about to get an exclusive, yo. But see, a lot of people don't notice, yo, like about like with like, you know, classic scenes like that. Like this is like a
But
moment
yeah.
in time right now.
So these are the records right here.
Oh wow, yeah, see, like those are like moment, like I said, moment in time.
It's just one, just the instrumental pressed wide as hell, but they made stickers for the labels. So that's the Show and AG, the Primo remix, Last Days,
I'm just trying to get that like as so authentic as possible. That's crazy, yo.
Survival of the Fittest,
Yeah, I remember that one too. And
Time's Up.
yeah, you see, like even like Time's Up, we were into.
Yo, and the Shook Ones is funny because for the Shook Ones, they just photocopied the LP label.
Oh, and just like
It's
put
got
it.
like the track, like the full half of the side on there and shit. It's crazy. But
And
yeah,
I.
there's no records of these selling ever. There's no record of these on the internet.
Man, those are archives. Man. You gotta frame those.
Oh no, this is fucking rainy day.
Oh, you still obviously
College tuition money for the kids type shit. You
collect it. So I remember in that movie now too, like you know, a lot of people introduction, you know, into Brittany Murphy's like Kid of the Hill, but I remember there's a. I could have sworn there's a one scene where, you know, when he gives her the finger, I swear, like you were standing like right there beside her, it was like Brittany Murphy.
I'm cropped out in the movie as good, you know. As much as I remember, I feel like I definitely was standing right next to her.
Because they have a
Sure.
special feature.
Paul hit me. Paul hit me. He's like, "Man, I got a good shot for you." Just on the fly. Like Paul was like, "Come here." And like Paul put me next to her. Paul Rosenberg. Put me right next to Brittany Murphy for that scene.
And like, you talk to her at all?
You know, I mean, we see she was a sweetheart, you know. She's the star though. I'm not.
I
How
would
you
have been like, no, I would have been like, what up, Brittany? Yeah, I loved you.
No, I mean, you know, brief conversations, just
Yeah.
being cordial, being a gentleman, you know what I
Yeah,
mean?
of course, yeah.
Yeah.
So how much people can say, like, you know, I was, yeah, actually, you know, sitting next to Brittany Murphy, because a lot of people, like, with you, like I noticed now too, like I kind of wish you would write a book now too of your experiences now too, because like it just a Detroit breeds a different type of energy that we don't really see now in the world.
Yeah, honesty. The world is a soft place. Detroit's not a soft place.
No, it's not. No, it's
You know
not.
what I mean? And that there's many layers to that statement. But yeah, man. You know, I talk my shit. I use my words, and I always keep it a buck.
You well,
I
I
always keep it. People might not like the way that I fucking say shit sometimes, but
yeah, of course.
I always keep it a buck. So if you got a problem with somebody that always keeps it a buck, what the fuck does that say about you?
Oh, that's true.
There's a lot bigger fish to fry.
I remember you once said that the ones you admire, you shouldn't meet. But was there any artist that that you wish you didn't meet that you were a fan of before? Like you don't gotta say names, but has that like before?
Nah, I never really had an interaction that, you take the good with the bad.
That's true.
The problem is just inconsistency. Like, act the same around different people. Like, that's super Hollywood shit and just some stars or heroes in general. But I'm the most grateful motherfucker in the world, bro. Like, I got more than a handful of my heroes. I talk to them. I know them. We're like peers now. It's unfucking believable. Just being a motherfucker that always wanted to play Heat and keep it a buck and stick to the script. And now it's unbelievable.
I
The
remember,
numbers in my motherfucking telephone is I nerd the fuck out over that shit sometimes. I get off the phone with motherfuckers. I'm like, man,
but
this shit is crazy.
it's
But
just,
I deserve that.
of course, because
You
you
know what
put
I
that
mean?
work in over the years.
Yeah.
Even like, because I remember seeing your name like pop up in Forbes now too. Like, yo, people don't know, yo, this guy was interviewed by Forbes magazine, y'all. But
Shout
like.
to Max. Shout to Max Bell. Shout to Jeff Weiss. Absolutely.
But one thing I always liked about you, like you always kept your ear to Detroit now too, because I see you obviously, seen the growth of Ty Ferris with like Proof and Iron Fist and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So I was curious, like even like back then, like do you still have like Fuzz Scooter's demo?
Huh.
Are you gonna tell us that too? Oh shit, we got a treat today, though.
What's
Is
that
that a
say?
Case that's in, or
What's
is
that
it?
say? Read the
Okay.
bottom.
Yeah, that's history right there. If y'all know Fuzz Scooter right
Oh, yeah.
there.
Look at that.
Oh, it's clear. Oh, yeah, see, yo, that's straight like pencil on there, too. See, this is history right there.
Yeah.
But even with like Fuzz Scooter's demo, I was curious now, too. Do you think that that kind of inspired M's?
Absolutely.
Okay,
Slim
so.
Shady. Slim Shady was a fully formed Fuzz Scooter. I don't know if that's the right way to say it, but there's
No, we know what you mean by that.
that's definitely the seed. You know what I mean? Because keep it a buck. When Infinite came out, I was like, it's cool. It's a well-produced record. But I
Sounds
was
like AZ kind of.
like not kind of. I was like, yo, you rap. It sounds like AZ, man. Like, why you rap? Like, it's New York. That's New York shit, man. You know what I mean? The beats was cool. There was a couple joints off of there that I would play on Fridays. And maybe not even necessarily every week. But yeah, Fuzz, man. Jesus Christ, man. You talking like, you be at the hip hop shop, and if Fuzz is there, you get excited.
I heard Fuzz
I
have
mean,
to be
there was a lot of people. I mean, the hip hop shop was fucking unbelievable, bro. Like,
with the names that will come in there
the
too.
level of fucking talent in that room, unbelievable, yo. Unbelievable. Like, at any given time, you might hear the greatest verse that you've ever heard in Detroit and damn near in your life.
Man, I kind of wish every session was kind of doc. Can you imagine, like, if every session was documented for those battles? Oh my God. But like, even like with that, I remember you said somewhere that you DJed the Slim Shady EP release party at the Viper Room on the East Side. But I was, you said DJ Rec, aka Cheddar Bob. Was that like? Was that like, was Cheddar Bob a real character?
Nah.
Okay,
Cheddar
I
Bob
was
was
curious.
fucking 8 Mile movie shit. DJ Rec is fucking awesome. And I hate that he kind of took that shit and ran with it. He was like, bro, you Rec, man. You ain't Cheddar Bob. You ain't, But yeah, I mean, Rec's production history with
Oh,
Eminem.
of
Like,
course.
yeah, I mean, my favorite Eminem song ever is Murder, Murder.
Sir, that's a
That's
see.
fucking Rec. So without Rec, he wouldn't have the greatest song that I ever heard from him.
So what I like about you now too, like I remember like the relationship with Proof, and like it's kind of crazy when I see the resemblance of the Ty Ferris with his bars over BS and what Proof had going on with Iron Fist, because you know, I remember Iron Fist had Purple Gang, like Jay Hill, like Killer Khan, yo, for y'all don't remember. So like
Wow.
yeah.
Wow, yo, you're on top of your shit, man.
I love the
Yeah.
turn hip hop, but like
Ty Ferris, yo, like all respect due, but out of everybody at the crib since I left, he's the one that's truly taken it into his own hands.
yeah.
You know what I mean? Like pressing your own shit, going through all that, and then carrying the weight of others, carrying their releases, distributing their releases, selling their shit. Like, ain't nobody done that. And there's no more powerful person than somebody that releases your music. And 9 out of 10 people, when they realize that, they're still not going to do it themselves.
Yeah, that's
You know
true.
what I mean? So, yeah, man, I love Ty, man. I love Ty to death, man. I'm so proud of that dude, man.
Because, like, I remember, like, you know, like, Proof when he was pushing Iron Fist. Like, did he come to you with a few exclusive games? Like, your house, I want you to break this Killer Khan record.
Well, there were no records.
There was, like, mixed. I remember Jay Hill had to, like,
Well,
maybe.
there was no records though. There was no,
Oh,
and
like no vinyl, like okay, yeah, no vinyl.
I was an all vinyl DJ. So you know what I mean? Like,
Wow.
but I mean, Proof had me DJ his MC battles. Proof used to tell me and other people that, like, I was Red Alert and he was KRS-One. You know what I mean?
And I remember like revisiting like the street corner music discography, and I remember coming across like Hot Soup. I'm like, yo, like. Yo, that shit took me back. But I remember, like, was it like the first time you ever heard of Danny Brown? Because you did this show for him and you seen this crowd, like, just do no word for word. Doesn't matter if they were new fans
Oh
or
yeah, that was the release tape for Hot
Hot
Soup.
Soup. Yeah.
That was the night that I knew he was going to be a fucking star. And I've had three of those nights in my life. It was when I saw M at the Hip Hop Shop. I was like, it's only a matter of time. When I saw Danny in the basement at Oslo's for the Hot Soup joint, it was just a matter of time. And when I saw Anderson Paak had a fucking residency at this spot on La Brea called The Lyric. This is probably 12 years ago. And he had opened up for a show I did with Shafiq Hussein maybe 2 or 3 years before that. And he was really dope. And he gave me a CD. And fast forward them 2 or 3 years, he was so fully formed at this show. And it was a mad young crowd, and they knew every word to every fucking song that he did. You know what I mean? And I looked at him and I was like, hey man. Like I was talking so much shit to him that night, like good shit. You know what I mean? Like they sat me down for an interview. They was like, can you say all this shit on tape for us? Like this is before anything. I was like, he's gonna get in the next, mark my words, in the next 3 months, he's gonna get on a plane. And his life is not going to be the same when he gets back home. You know what I mean? And the night of the Hot Soup joint, it was maybe 50 people, maybe 60. And half of the crowd was the homies. And they knew all this shit. And the other half was fucking Reggies. You know what I mean? Just regular folk that heard it was a party. Didn't know nothing. Didn't know who the fuck Danny Brown was. Two songs in, you could not tell the fucking difference.
Yo.
It was fucking, yeah, man. I'm big on like,
Melbourne.
I'm big on singularities. That night was a singularity. I ain't never seen nothing like that.
Some artists you just know, like when you see it, it's like
Well,
you.
just know the fucking energy in that room, and it was maybe counting like staff, bartender, security, DJ. It might have been 60 people. You know what I mean? Unrivaled energy.
And
Like we're seeing this all happen right now at the same time. Like you see this? You see this? You know what I mean? Shit. I'm throwing out Dilla beats. He fucking freestyling to him and shit. You know what I mean?
So,
Crazy.
just like, I love how, he has his cult following now too, over the years now too. But like, does some of his album deal, like, I remember, like, his album, his recent release, his personality's unmatched, but his album, We Scaring the Hoes, does his album sometimes, like, make you, like, kill you sometimes?
Hey man, you get what we give you. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not a critic. I like what I like. I've really tried to pivot from like shitting on whenever I feel like shitting on something, I try to talk about something dope instead. You know what I
Okay.
mean? And I don't want him to do something that someone else wants him to do. I want him to do every time what the fuck he wants to do. And if he
He
wants to
wants
scare some hoes, scare some fucking hoes, man.
to, yeah. You have any memories that stand out of Frank and Dink?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, 50, we smoked 56 blunts. We smoked 56 blunts in like 4 hours at
What's
Studio A. That's when Dilla and Madlib met in the studio for the first time. Wolf was there. It was Wolf, Frank Dank, Dilla, Jamie the engineer, me, and my homie Elray Havana. And we smoked 56 blunts.
it?
It was ridiculous.
What's it like when you see them getting their flowers from a superstar like Drake? 'Cause I remember, I think it was last year, they did OVO Fest. I was like, yo, I was so, because a lot of these kids, they don't know about the significance of like of a 48 Hours album, like of
Well, I
some.
mean, that's T-Dot. That's T-Dot history, though, because they, shortly after that, they left and moved to Toronto.
Yeah, Dank's there, but Frank's
Yeah.
in LA. Yeah.
Yeah. So that makes sense, absolutely, because Drake never knew Dilla. So Frank and Dank is the closest thing, and it's T-Dot. It's a T-Dot relationship. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So like,
Yeah, that was a hell of an era. That was, the MCA album and the fucking 48 Hours album.
oh my God.
I was up at Studio A often.
And so before I let you go now too, with Fab Beats, was it like I wasn't too sure if you were a manager or if you worked at that company, but did they offer you a manager position at Fab Beats at one point?
I closed Fat Beats on Melrose. There was a lot of red flags going on. We were only being allowed to order records like maybe, I don't remember if it was once every 2 weeks or 3 weeks or once a month. It was just mad red flags everywhere to the point where we hit up the office and was like, "What the fuck is going on, man?" And they totally appeased us and were like, "No, everything's good." You know what I mean? Business as usual. We just gotta slow down for a minute, and then we get an email maybe 36 hours later, it's over with.
Oh, what the hell?
So shout to the homie Soup, and he vanished. I haven't seen him since that day. Like he felt disrespected and lied to, and he held that spot down. So when he punched the clock that day, a lot of us ain't seen him since.
But it's just.
And it's like, fuck, like Fat Beats LA is closing. I was like, ain't nobody else gonna do it. So like I scheduled the last day. Like the last day where it was like every motherfucking rapper in that bitch. You know what I mean? From Dilated to fucking E Rule, Exhibit, just all the West Coast motherfuckers was in there. All the DJs. Motherfuckers bought every record in the store, and I got on the mic and I was like, "Yeah, too late, motherfuckers."
It's
If
closed,
you would have
y'all.
spent like $50 once a month, all of you still have a record store. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, MC8 was there. Like, it was a fucking unbelievable night, and I had to leave early because I had to get on a plane to go somewhere and DJ. But yeah, like, I took the responsibility. You know what I mean? I was like, "These are the motherfuckers we gotta." We gotta have rock on the last day of Fat Beats in LA. and it was super, super classic.
See, and that's like I like how like you don't let like something like that like Cody's like I'm done with this like cause the passion's still there now too. Even like you know with celebrating 10 years of street corner music, with that being said now too, do you have like you know plans of doing like a second album by you? Because besides from Let It Go, like you don't really have like a house shoes out. You may have beat tapes, but like a actual album like Let It Go.
Nah, I mean, probably not, in all honesty. Who knows? I've been feeling like making beats again, but I'm not gonna start making beats so I can make an album.
Yeah, you can't force it. I know what you
I
mean.
mean, I did the album with Big Tone. We got the Big Shoes album.
Yeah, that's what I
So,
forgot about. Yeah. Yo,
yeah.
big talk. Yeah, this is what I want to ask before I let you
But that
go.
was like the last, Big Shoes was like the last of the beats.
Oh, okay.
I mean, there might be like three left that I would maybe let somebody rap on.
So before I let you go, Big Tone was on Out of Focus, right?
Absolutely. Hodgepodge.
So what's it like maintaining a relationship for that long with Big Tone and still, you know, supporting him over the years? Obviously, you support artists, but sometimes, you know, when you've been there from the start and you see them grow, like what's it like seeing them?
Fucking up is the reason you do it. You know what I mean? I don't remember a lot of meetings. I don't remember a lot of situations where I met a motherfucker for the first time, you know what I
Yeah.
mean? But I met Tone and 80 and Marlo when they were still called, they were going by the name, it's a really dope name for a group too, it's called University.
Okay.
And, you know, they would later become Wasted Youth. And we met because I was in 31 and we had a meeting at like this elementary school by the crib. And we like they came into 31, you know what I mean? But Tone has always stayed the course and always matured, and he was just dope the first day I met him, damn near 30 years ago, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So we're like, can't we, you know, we're both still here and we're both still pushing. And that's, you know, that's the example. You stick to it. You don't play ball, you do what the fuck you feel you're here to do. And history will tell the story.
Man, yo,
You know
shout
what
out to
I mean?
Big Tone, man, because yo, you got a good history, Big Tone, and shout out to Big Tone.
Hell yeah. I mean
So
that time beat is from like 1999.
oh wow. Oh, oh
Let It Go came out in 2011.
yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
Wow. It's just like that. Like we don't get to see it's different when you actually hear the music, but you get to hear stories like that because we don't know when it's made.
Right.
So before I let you go, House Shoes, is there anything that you want us to promote? I'm gonna put the link to the Street Corner website below so they can cop the physical. Anything you wanna let the people know before I let you go?
You know, house shoes. I'm doing my job. Fuck with the Twitch. Come through. You know, it's a party. It's a beautiful place. Buy some records. And just don't be a piece of shit.
And yo, be on the lookout for the Out of Focus on vinyl and now too. Yeah, we'll be securing our copy now too. We'll put the links to Street Corner Music and Twitch below. Yo, House Shoes, man. You're welcome back anytime, my guy. I'll see you out next time on Detroit Hip Hop.
I appreciate it, brother.
Anytime, my guy. One love.
You
So.
got it.